Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Hey, we are back. Another episode of Shell and Tell Radio. Got a real treat for you this week. We really do. Of course, we have our weekly Birdland BS segment where we cover the Terps. If you don't know what Birdland BS is, make sure to check it out, especially if you're a Ravens or Orioles fan. Basically, it's all things Baltimore sports. It's how Shell and Tell came to be. Birdland BS started with the Ravens and Orioles coverage with a little bit of Terps, and I just kept growing it bigger and bigger until it was like, hey, man, we just need its own thing. So that's how Shell and Tell came to be. If you've been with us for a little bit, you know Fred and myself were the start of Shell and Tell. We've added a third member, Mr. Ahmed Ghafir, formerly with Sports Illustrated, formerly with 427, now with Inside the Black and Gold, covering all things Maryland sports. Please give him a follow at Inside the Black and Gold and Ghafir the Turtle, at Ghafir the Turtle on Twitter. You can follow me at Terps BSBurk. Come follow Fred at Fred BLBS. You can follow Shell and Tell at Shell and Tell Pod. You can listen to us anywhere you can find podcasts. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify. We are even on YouTube now. iHeartRadio, all the things you can, where you can find audio podcasts. Special treat this week. You got myself and Fred on the Birdland BS segment covering new football developments, basketball developments, our Terps doing well in the NBA. And then you have Mr. Ahmed Ghafir with a sit-down with Josh Shaw, head coach of Cherokee High School, head coach of your future quarterback, A.J. Swan. Really big on this kid. Really think he's going to do well. Kid's got a crazy accurate arm. Absolutely underrated on the mobility side of things. He's listed as a pro-style quarterback out of Georgia. Committed to the Terps, late riser. I said from the beginning he was underrated. He was a 3-star then. He's a 4-star now. Secret is he's still underrated. So, really excited to have this kid on board. Really excited that Ahmed got the chance to get some little inside information, hear about this kid, firsthand knowledge for the person that's been coaching him in high school the last couple of years. Hope you guys enjoy that. We'll start out with the Birdland segment. It's only about 10 minutes, and then it'll go right into Ahmed's interview. Stay tuned for that. I know you're not going to want to miss it. I'll check back in with you later.
All right, Ryan, it's time for some Shell and Tell, some Terps talk. And there's been some good news going around the sports programs. We're going to talk a little bit about basketball first. I know we're still waiting on the shoe to drop for the big three that we call them, figuring out what's going to happen with Daryl Morcell. Is he going to come back? What's going to happen with Eric Ayala? It sounds like he's probably leaning coming back. Aaron Wiggins is the biggest question mark. Obviously, he's probably the most productive scoring player out of the three. He's probably also the one that has the most NBA potential, right? But what we've heard over the past couple of months was that not a lot of teams had him even in their top 64, which apparently what I'm hearing is his expectation and desire, if he's going to make that jump to go to the NBA, is that he needs to be a first round selection, which would be top 32. I don't know. What's the take?
We got a little bit of false hope because the original list of NBA combine invites did not include him.
Right.
He did have a G League tryout this last weekend. Apparently, he did very well at the G League tryout, and he was in the additional invites to the NBA Combine. So the Terps fans got to keep sweating it out. I mean, this is just what it is. Nobody can predict this. We just saw a couple years ago, everybody thought that Kevin Huerter was coming back and that Styx was leaving, and the exact opposite happened. So you can't predict these things. We have to see what happens at the NBA Combine, and then we'll kind of know.
Yeah, Kevin Huerter, in my opinion, was a little bit of a different case. There was a lot of hype around Kevin Herter. He was Mr. New York basketball in when he was in high school.
Yeah.
There was a lot of
Red
big,
Velvet.
There was a lot of big names, big GMs, one Magic Johnson that was watching him in high school. Kevin Herter was more known in the NBA family, per se, than I think Aaron Wiggins is. Aaron Wiggins is going to have to make a big impression, I think, in order for him to jump from not even being in everybody's top 64 to being in the top 32. But to your point that we talked about earlier, all it takes is one team to give you some sort of false sense of hope or, you know, a promise that they're going to draft you in the top 32, and then
yeah, and potentially a promise he makes is worth what? Nothing.
Nothing.
So we got to see at that point. Once he announces, we will certainly be rooting in his corner and hope that he is a first-round draft pick, because nobody wants to see a kid make the wrong decision there.
Well, let's focus on who's going to be here, right, moving forward. And I know we were looking at 2022 class the other day, and we just heard, unfortunately, we are now classless as we had our first decommit in a while.
Yeah, Maryland is classless. Maryland's lone 2022 commit, Paul Lewis, number 24 point guard and 169 overall. Ted chose Maryland over Louisville, Georgetown, East Carolina, and others, but he has decommitted from the program. Hearing a lot of this is kind of mutual. It was kind of an early commit. We were hoping the kid grew, hoping the kid developed, and then we kept recruiting other point guards in that year, and he kind of took a little offense to that, and we didn't want to keep all our eggs in that basket, and so we're hoping for bigger and better fish, but you never know. With all the things going on at Maryland, canceling the practice facility and losing Beano, there's a lot of things up in the air. Not that we haven't brought in very good replacements, not that we don't have haven't settled the coaching situation, head coach situation. There are good things, but you just don't know how this can affect the kids.
Yeah, I'm okay with this decommit, especially if we have some handshake agreement in place with some players that you might tout as being better than Lewis, and that this is going to potentially put him, this was going to potentially put him further down the depth chart. I don't respect that if he's like, you know what, if you're going to go out and get these guys and you've already got the commitment from these other guys who are rated higher than me, and that's going to cut into my playing time, I think I might have a better shot at committing somewhere else and getting that playing time right away. So I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't hate it either. It all depends on what we replace it with. Just like we said, when Beano left, we can't judge us till we see the plan.
Right.
We got to know what's going on around here.
Yeah.
We mentioned Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
I know, being a very Aaron Wiggins type situation. Kevin Herter leading the Atlanta Hawks like a boss.
Red Rifle.
Yeah, my man, Red Velvet, Red Mamba, whatever you want to call him. He's Red something.
Redheaded stepchild.
Kevin Herter, 6'7", shooting guard. He was a first-round pick by Atlanta Hawks in 2018. 27 points is a playoff career high, only two shy of his career high of 29, which, honestly, let me give a shovel to the Atlanta Hawks, because Kevin Herter got you there all game. Trae Young did nothing. He had two made shots in the first half, had a couple sparing baskets around the second half, and then they let him drop 12 free throws in the last minute and 30 seconds, never letting Kevin Herter touch the ball. He's not a bad free throw shooter. He's an 85% free throw shooter. Why are you forcing it to Trae every time for that extra 2%?
That's the turf fan.
Come on. It was 2 points.
That's the turf fan.
I was sitting there watching that game going, he's getting his career high. He's getting it. And then we're going to give it to the guy that's missed every shot that game.
Trae Young right now is a top 8 NBA player in the league right now.
It's bottom 4.
Trae Young is what got them to where they're at right now. Not Kevin Herter.
There's a clutch factor with Trae Young.
Yeah.
You're going to go with that. But I do agree with him.
There is every free throw, so I can't complain.
Go with the hot hand.
There is some thought process to that, but you have to look at the guy. The guy's clutch.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
On top of his 27 pounds, or 7 points.
27 pounds.
He had 7 rebounds. He was 10 for 18, 56% from the field, 50% from 3, 2 for 4, and he had 3 assists, including a beautiful pick. Danielle Gallery picked Embiid's pocket, knocked the ball loose, and Kevin Herter paid him off with a nice cherry pick dunk.
Yeah.
That was one of the most beautiful assists of the day.
Agreed. All right, let's switch over to the football side of things. We had some recent moves on the roster. We got a preferred walk-on transfer from Oregon.
Yeah, for June, this was a hot, heavy week for football.
It was.
Man, Harrison Beattie, it's a preferred walk-on, but he's from Oregon, big-time program. And he was a big kicker punter out of McDonough High School, so local, you're bringing the kids back. He was a five-star kicker, according to Coles. As we talked to our Brendan Segovia, we learned a little bit more about these kicker camps. Coles is one of the highest respected things out there for the kickers.
I went straight to the department store.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea what any of this stuff means, but apparently he's pretty good. And if Oregon thought he was good enough, I think Oregon thinks he's good enough. And look at this kid. He's out there with the Nike money playing and all their cool stuff and coming back to this brand new facility. He's just taking the tour of America.
Now, does this put any pressure, you think, on our boy?
I don't know. I mean, he's a kicker slash punter. From everything I'm seeing, he's brought in as a kicker more than a punter. So I think it's more of that side of the room.
Gotcha.
Which, of course, you know, Pecorella said that he was a kicker until college, and they said, you look like a punter. So now he's a punter. So I don't know. But, you know, depth in that area is great because we had that groin injury, not this year, but the year before. That kind of derailed their whole kicking season. We couldn't hit an extra point.
Right. That's true. Well, the next commitment we got was, and this is where I talk about the star ratings meaning jack shit to me, right? This was a guy that was not rated, didn't have any star ratings, wasn't on most big teams' radar at all, but he came in here on campus to a workout, lit it up from everything that we're hearing. And that's Caleb Wheatland, 6'2", 235-pound linebacker out of Virginia.
Yeah, this is a 2022 kid, like you said, out of Virginia. He's burst onto the scene recently. You got to realize that this year is a little different. I mean, there wasn't a lot of high school football, if any, for these kids.
Right.
These star ratings are going to be worse than they've ever been. They're always bad. Like you said, you know, you got J.J. Watt was a one star or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They're not accurate. But this year is going to be the worst because all these kids, unless they had just serious junior tape, they weren't on the list.
Our boy Ahmed knocked it out of the park because literally the minute he got word that he was committing, he said 247 is going to make him a three star and put him as an overall rating of 85, and then he came in at 86 or something at a three star.
A three star.
I mean, almost nailed it to the team.
So yeah, he burst on the scene at the Under Armour Baltimore camp last month. His performance earned him a workout with the Terps. Basically, they offered him a commitment pending a workout. He came in last Wednesday, worked out with the guys, where he was obviously impressed by the facilities because it was only a day later where he committed to the Terps, messing around.
Yeah. Well, another position, and I think the most important position on a football team, probably the most important position in any sport, in my opinion, the quarterback position, right? We knew what we got going on this year with Talia. We've got, obviously, A.J. Swan coming in next year, under commitment right now. What's happening in 23 when we got our first quarterback commitment?
Yeah, Robert Champ Long, 23 QB. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds out of St. Peter's Prep in New Jersey. Guy looks good, strong arm, seems really dedicated, impressed the staff, and they offered to accept the scholarship.
He needs to do something with that hair, but I mean, he looks good. Yeah, he needs to do something with that hair.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like Rattler. We missed out on that angry QB1. I don't think they're filming QB1 anymore, so I guess we won't have any more Netflix stars playing for us.
Well, this just goes, in my opinion, this just goes to speak volumes of what that new facility is already doing. You're seeing the impact on social media. You're seeing it on Twitter. You're seeing what these kids are saying, the pictures that they're putting out there. Everything that we're getting feedback about this facility is making the impact that we hoped it would be.
Yeah, and you're seeing the commitments either like at or very close to the visit. There is not this long drawn out process. There's not this debate. Maybe something bigger happens. Of course, these kids can flip. These are just verbal commitments.
Right.
So it could still be a problem. But this is definitely, to me, seems different than in past years where it was more of later July, August type commitments if they were committing in the summer.
Well, that was the end of our Birdland BS segment. If you guys like that, and again, especially if you're Orioles and Ravens, you should really check them out on YouTube or Facebook, somewhere where you can get the visual side of Birdland BS. Fred has done an amazing job developing all the visuals, all the video usage, the green screen usage. It's really an impressive product, so check them out. This is also time for a little shameless plug. If you could rate, subscribe, review, like, follow, whatever you can do where you are, listening to us would be greatly appreciated, especially the reviews. They're really huge for us. Honestly, criticism's fine too. We're still building this product to something we want to show. So if you find something you think we need more of, we need less of, you got a problem, go ahead, voice it. I got thick skin. We'll be okay. But here's what you all are been waiting for. You're waiting for our newest member, Ahmed Ghafir, with the inside Terps information that you're here for. We're looking to look at A.J. Swan's head coach. AJ Swan, for those of you that don't know the exact statistics on this, AJ Swan is our 2022 commitment. He's 6'2", 204. Rivals just gave him his fourth star, well-deserved. I think the kid's going to be really great, and I hope you have a little extra confidence after hearing this interview.
And we are back for another segment of Shell and Tell Radio, joined now by Cherokee head coach Josh Shaw. Coach, appreciate you taking some time today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, obviously, just kicking it off, I know a big summer, you know, with visits and camps starting up again. And obviously, AJ has a big camp coming up at the end of the month after being invited out to the Elite 11. And throughout the offseason, it seems that, you know, wherever AJ shows up, he seems to just be the top quarterback out there. And I know that you've mentioned that he might be one of the most advanced and polished quarterbacks that you've gotten a chance to work with over the years. But just kind of in your mind, what is it, and maybe what have you seen from AJ that just really reinforces that maybe he is that special prospect?
Well, I think for starters, it just goes to show you how underrated he was from the very get-go. And I think a lot of that was caused by, you know, a lot of these colleges just want to see their QBs come on campus and throw in person. And AJ didn't have the opportunity to do that going into last season with the pandemic and everything that was going on. So, you know, when he goes to these functions, the Elite 11, he's at the five-star Rivals today. You know, I mean, I've been watching AJ since the fourth grade, so I know he's going to go there and compete and do well. And I do think he's the best pure passing quarterback in the 2022 class. So, but it's all the hard work that he's put in along the way, along with a lot of, you know, skills that he's been blessed with as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know he mentioned, I think last week after his last Maryland visit, he mentioned that he had the Corky Kelly 7-on-7 tournament coming up. Well, it was this past weekend, but I saw you guys went 5-0 and came out on top as the champs. And, you know, what was it, I guess, maybe in that weekend, in that night, where he was able to just kind of help lead you guys to an undefeated victory?
Well, and we actually ended up, they ended up canceling the remainder of the tournament because of lightning. So, but we were undefeated at that point, and had beat some really good teams, Brookwood. But, you know, the 7-on-7s are an opportunity for AJ to shine. I mean, obviously there is no pass rush coming at you or anything. You know, so his unbelievable accuracy does well. He's also got a new group of receivers beyond Adarius Harshaw, and his receivers did a phenomenal job catching the ball. I think we went through five or six games, and we only had maybe three or four drops the entire day.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, no, it's really impressive. Just really watching him just see the command that he kind of carries in the pocket and just with his teammates, things like that. You know, it seems like it's very evident that he kind of comes across as that natural leader. Is that kind of, like you said, you've been able to see him since the fourth grade. And I know leadership and kind of being that guy on the team, accepting that role is really big. So I guess, is that something that you've really seen from AJ over these years?
Yeah, absolutely. And he does a lot more leading by example. He's extremely subtle from that regards. Like, he's never going to get on a kid's rear end or anything like that from that. You know, but he has total command of our offense and the guys, you know, the rest of his teammates that are out there with him, they know how hard he works. And so they want to work just as hard, whether it be the offensive line to protect him or receivers to be able to catch balls. You know, our receivers are fortunate because they know AJ throws them some balls that other quarterbacks couldn't make, throws that other quarterbacks, you know, putting it in some windows that other quarterbacks couldn't put it in. So, you know, and really, AJ is an extension of our offensive coordinator, Justin Pierce, on the field. I mean, they've been working together for so long that, you know, he sees the same thing that our coordinator sees out there as well.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really, you know, what coaching staffs want. They want that to be the extension. You know, I feel like from a coaching perspective, you always want to get your players to the point where you feel comfortable that they're going to make the same decisions and have the same mentality that, you know, the coaches are going to have, to make sure that you know, you guys are kind of out there and you feel like you're in good hands. And just, again, just kind of seeing AJ over these years and being able to see what kind of pocket passer he is. And even though he, you know, he can do the damage with his arm, he has the mobility to extend plays with his legs, things like that. But I guess, you know, I know Maryland was obviously very aware of the type of quarterback that AJ was very early on in the cycle. But I guess, what do you feel that other coaches maybe didn't see because they weren't able to see him in person, or just weren't able to evaluate on film, and maybe that, sure, that maybe an aspect that, you know, you believe that they missed?
Well, I think one is his mobility. And, you know, we live in a day and age in college football, and even the NFL for that matter, where you're Kyler Murray's and you're Jalen Hurts, and everybody's looking for the kid that runs the 4.5, 4.6, 40. You know, and I think there's so much more to it that AJ brings to the table than that. But I think definitely the mobility component of it. I mean, he was a three-sport athlete up until recently, and he was a high-level three-sport athlete. Played baseball, played basketball, and then played football. And up until recently, when he just started focusing on football, you know, so he's been a tremendous athlete. He's actually. I mean, we just choose not to run him. Is he a zone read guy that needs to run the ball in college 20 times a game? No, probably not. But for us, if he gets hurt, we're just not going to win any games, win many games without him right now. I mean, and he'll have we have another special quarterback coming through, but he'll be a freshman this year. And so, but, you know, for I think that's the big thing that's been overlooked. And, you know, and then just his arm strength, the ability. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks at the high school level that can throw the 18 to 20 yard comeback from the opposite hash and put it right between the chest. You know, that I've seen a couple of those throws happen, Trevor Lawrence being one of them at some 7-on-7s, and a kid named Austin King for Alpharetta a few years ago. But I just haven't seen a lot of kids at the high school level be able to make throws like that. And so it allows us to do so much more offensively. And I think a keynote with AJ as well that is extremely underrated is just the manipulation that he does with his eyes. We've got some new safeties this year, and just going through spring, I mean, they are beyond frustrated because AJ takes them one direction with his eyes and then turns around and throws the ball the opposite direction. I mean, to the point of safeties walking off the field in frustration. So, and you have to remind them, like, you're going up against the best, one of the best in this entire state. And so, you know, that stuff's going to happen. But just another thing that AJ does in, you know, that he's so far along in his quarterback progression, I guess, you know, and that's going to be something that really helps him at Maryland, you know, in college.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you know, kind of all kind of comes together. So it definitely does. And I'm, you know, kind of curious, you know, from my perspective of, you know, just the last 15 months, obviously, I know visits are resuming now and kids are able to see schools and things like that. But, you know, kind of for you, kind of getting leading up to this point, I know obviously college coaches, they want to connect with the prospect and the family and make sure that, you know, the trust factor is there. But I guess just with recruiting really been virtual for the bulk of AJ's, at least the early stages of his recruitment, how active, I guess, was Maryland with you in terms of letting you know and letting AJ know what type of offense they run and make sure that the offensive fit that kind of make sure that you guys understand that, you know, AJ is kind of going to a place where, you know, he's able to maximize his skill set and do more of the same that he's doing now.
Well, I think you got Coach Enos and Coach Loxley for starters. I mean, their reputation precedes himself with, you know, with what they've done with the quarterbacks that Alabama has pumped out the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, especially with those guys going off onto the NFL and having successful starts to their careers. So I think that is extremely important. The other thing is that I've had a previous relationship with Brawley Evans. I coached him in college when he played running back for West Liberty State. I was his position coach. So I kind of had a connection to Maryland from that regards. And I always felt like Brawley was someone that I could trust. So when they first started recruiting, you know, they were recruiting Ebony Jackson a couple of years ago. And then as it kind of went on to AJ, You know, I always felt Brawley's been extremely honest and kept me in the loop. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that him and I had a previous relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually going to be my next question. Cause I came across that, I think earlier this week, I saw that, that you had coached him. So just having, you know, you mentioned, just now, just kind of having that inherent relationship kind of going into this recruiting process. And obviously with Maryland recruiting Ebony Jackson a few years back. But just knowing that you had someone that you could trust in College Park, did that help maybe you realize that that AJ was in good hands?
Yeah, without question. And I think the key thing with them recruiting him is they've made him feel like he's extremely important. Like they have had a plan for him from day one, you know, and they've proven that by everything that they've said has come to fruition, you know, so far to this point. So, you know, they've got a plan for him there when he gets on campus. And, you know, so I think all of that stuff has kind of played into it. And on top of the fact that, once again, they developed a great relationship with AJ over the last year and a half. And, you know, so it's just kind of extended from there. You know, AJ went up with Ebony's visit a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago. Went up with Ebony, and then, you know, he was up there a couple of weeks ago, and I know, you know, he was ecstatic about how the visit went while he was up there.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's and I got a chance to talk to him, and it seemed like, you know, everything kind of checked the boxes, reinforced, you know, that he kind of made the right decision. And I know he's, you know, and just enjoying the recruiting process, just enjoying like the visit aspect, things like that. But definitely, you know, I personally always love hearing that that a kid found and he feels comfortable with his next spot. So yeah, no, I'm definitely happy to hear that. You are listening to Josh Shaw, the head coach over at Cherokee High School, where Elite 11 and Maryland quarterback commit AJ Swan suits up. Coach, I sincerely appreciate you taking a couple minutes with me today. I know a lot of Maryland fans love seeing everything AJ Swan related, love learning about him, love listening about him. So I definitely appreciate you you joining us and yeah, just analyzing and getting a chance to shed some light on Maryland's next quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm a little excited about football. As I'm sitting here recording this, we are 72 days away from kickoff. Any of you that haven't been following us on Twitter, especially also Instagram and Facebook, I've been doing an okay job post, but Twitter posting every day, countdown to kickoff to our West Virginia kickoff for the year. We use whatever player number goes along with the day, make a cool little photo edit, and give a little blurb. So if you want to know more about each and every player on the Maryland roster, be sure to follow us on Twitter. We're posting there pretty much every day. You got a lot of teams, players on a college team, so we got a lot of numbers to go through. But yeah, I'm super excited for football. Of course, AJ's not going to be here this year, but I still got some big things, big hope going on for this fall, things that this team can accomplish. And the future's bright, man. That TBIA is starting to be a reality. You know, the best is ahead. With the new Jones Hill house, seeing all the excitement, the release for that, all the cool toys these guys got to play with, all the cool toys to show all the 17 and 18-year-old recruits how they can get home here, get better as football players, as men, the focus on health and safety to see the training rooms and everything going on there, the nutrition room, the improvement in that. These guys are going to be in such a better shape. They're going to be so much more prepared. We have all the tools. Now it's time just to put it on the field. And we're seeing the fruits of the labor, man. We're seeing the commitments coming. As we talked earlier, we got two quarterback commitments this year. Excited really about both of them. I think AJ's got the slight edge in my head, but they're both great. And we need more depth in the QB room if we're going to be a top-tier program. These guys aren't afraid of competition. They're going to come in here and ball. We got our first 2023 commit that it's also a quarterback. Always good to have the leader in place. Hopefully he sticks around and starts recruiting, bringing people in on his level, and we can just keep this thing rolling. There's no reason to be sad as a Terps fan. All this, these couple people I see negative commenting all these things online. What are you still doing here? Like, if you can't have hope in this moment as a Terps fan, I don't know what you're doing.
Like, they're giving you everything you've ever asked for. They're putting the money where their mouth is. They're showing effort. They're showing, you know, they're giving you the backstage pass, the exposure, all the fun things about being a sports fan in general. The Terps are giving you everything you could ask for. So I really hope you enjoyed the little bit of inside look we could give you. Having Ahmed on the team has been invaluable. The connections that he has, the information that he has, please give him a follow. Again, at Gafir the Turtle is his Twitter feed. He runs Inside the Black and Gold. I got a paywall subscription service. There's also some good free stories there if you just want to test it out for a while before you jump behind the paywall and get the real inside details. And of course, follow us here at Shell and Tell, because we're always talking about little tidbits or giving you hints about what's going on with those stories. This partnership should be really fruitful for the both of us, and really excited to see how it goes. So, till next time, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.